Many people these days, about this time, start making new resolutions, right? This is the new year will be coming. Christmas is done, and they'll be making a lot of resolutions for the new year. And most of those resolutions will not pass the second week, right? And they'll break them. Most of all those resolutions, by the way, they're focused on our own self, right? If you think about the resolutions you made and the people will make the different resolutions. For example, I will go on a strict diet this year. So I lose weight and I look and feel good and I'll feel better, right? Another one that is very common for those who smoke, I'll quit smoking when the new year comes. They don't say I'm going to quit right now. When the new year comes. By the way, this is the most resolution will be broken. As a matter of fact, January 2nd comes, it's broken. I will spend more time with the family and less time on the golf course or my entertainment stuff. I'm going to spend more time. And January comes. They don't play golf, but they'll be doing something else. In order to make a resolution, you need to know who is the focus of the resolution first, like in these cases, us. What is the resolution about? And why is the resolution made, and what's the outcome of it? In order to make a resolution, we need to know, like I said, those things. For example, going on the strict diet resolution. Who is the focus? It's me. I will do this. So I look better. Why? What is the resolution? I'll eat less for the next 6 months. I will starve myself. That's what the resolution. Why? So I feel better. I look better. Or I get the praise from people or on how I look. That's basically most of the resolutions have that kind of focus. I would like to talk about resolutions that all of us should and will make today, starting now and through the next year. We'll make it either way. We'll make a resolution either way here, even though we don't think about it. First of all, who is the focus of the resolution? It's Christ. That's the focus of the resolution. Well, who is he? Who is Christ? That's the biggest decision we have to make. In Matthew 16, verse 15, he was talking to his disciples in that section, and he told them, what do the people say about me? Who am I? And some, they said, they're Elijah and the different things, right? And then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who he is. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Please open to Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6, and while you're there, also put your fingers in John 1, from 1 to 15. Isaiah 9:6. Extremely famous verse. You will see it on most Christmas cards. You would see it. If you don't have it on your Christmas card, you write it. I do. Okay? On some of the cards. And the prophet here, Isaiah, gave names to Christ, who he is. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We'll be discussing those names a little bit later. But I want you to go to John 1. the Christmas story in John 1. That's who he is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And listen to verse 3. All things came into being through him. All things. And apart from him, nothing came into being that was come into being. He created all. He's the creator. Christ is the creator. The second person of the Trinity of God was the creator of all through God, you know, all of them, but he is the creator. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you go back to Isaiah, you know, Isaiah gave him those names. He describes him by names. He called him Wonderful Counselor. Before his incarnation, the world has lost all good counsel. They were confused. I mean, if you look at the history of Israel, and they were in and out of God's obedience, the world, you know, they were supposed to be there to declare him, and they just didn't take the message to the world. There was darkness. In Isaiah 9:2, he said, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. The same thing was said in John 1:5. Same verse. John and probably got it from here. Okay? They were in darkness, and they were confused. Christ came. In Romans 3:23, everybody knows that verse, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who's all? All. You, me, everybody, the whole world. All have sinned. Why am I talking about that? It's Christmas. Well, that's what Christmas is all about. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in verse 23, 6:23, in Romans, said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ came that we might have eternal life. That's the only reason he came. He didn't come show up here just to be a baby. Okay? You know, the world celebrated Christmas a couple days ago. They never celebrated Christ. And you can see it how they attacked him everywhere, even in the newscasts, even during Christmas time. They did not celebrate Christ, most of them. Okay? He was born. Why was he born? For one purpose only. He was born to die. Yeah, as a sacrifice on the cross, as a payment for our sin. That's why he came. That's why he was a baby. Okay? In John 1:5, he said, the light shines in the darkness. As a result of this light, we will see, and it will be clear to us, and that's how we get saved. Because he attracts us to him, he opens our eyes through this light, and that's how we get saved. That's why he came. His second name, and I'm going to go through those quickly, until we get to the resolution. You know, the message is making a resolution today. But we need to know, why are we making this resolution? Mighty God. He was from eternity to eternity. That is that baby. You know, they stole, I saw the news report during Christmas, somebody stole baby Jesus from the manger. You know, they do it every year, right? You know, they don't understand who is that. I mean, I'm not talking about this little statue. I'm talking about Christ. That is the mighty God. And when we think of Christmas, we think of Christ, and we say, oh, this is cute, and this is nice, and babies. And that is the mighty God, the creator of the universe. Keep that in mind when you celebrate Christmas. And he is the creator. In John 1:3, all things came into being through him. Okay? For his own, actually another verse says it's for his own pleasure. He created all. God, the creator of all, took upon himself flesh. And to me, that's one of the major, major, biggest miracles ever Christ made. How can God of the universe take upon him flesh and become one of us? You know, he was in Mary's womb how many months? 9 months. Like any other baby. Yes, the seed is from God, not from Joseph. And that's where his deity stayed. He's God. But he was also a full human being. He was there 9 months. He grew up as a full human being. He had to. If he did not come and become Jesus as a full human being, he couldn't die on the cross because God doesn't die himself. So Jesus had to be born as a full human being and died on the cross, without sin, by the way, to carry our sins. He was hungry while he was alive. Did he cry when he was a baby? Of course he did. He cried as an adult even. So he was hungry. He cried. He hurt like you and I. You know. And finally he died on the cross. But he didn't stay there. He rose up. You know, on the cross, he laid himself. He allowed himself to go to the cross. He wasn't a martyr. Okay? He wasn't somebody, you know, look how bad these Jews or how bad those Romans or look how bad. No. He offered himself a sacrifice because of me, because of you. Okay? He did all of that we might be saved and have eternal life. He did that because he loved you. That's why he did that. Third name that Isaiah gives him, Eternal Father. If you look in Luke 3, verses 38. Well, before we get to 38, if you look in verse 23, Luke 3, verse 23, it talks about the genealogy of Jesus. When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son, and it goes down until verse 38. He said, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. It goes back to God. Children of God, child of God. And Romans 5:12 said that sin entered the world as a result of one man, and death passed to all men as a result. That was Romans 5:12 talks about that. And as a result, man became an enemy of God. Because of the sin that entered the world, we became enemies. And that's why Christ came to claim us back as his children. You know, we were supposed to, you know, Adam was created to be with God, to be his, you know, to fellowship with God, not to go to hell or to sin. That wasn't the reason. God knew that, though, he's going to sin before he created him. He had the plan what to do. Christ was ready. He said, I'll go to the cross for them because I love them. Okay? So, in John 1:12, verse again, if you look at John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." We are, if we're saved, if you are saved and you know what it is, if you have accepted him as your personal savior, confessed your sin, you are his child. He promised that. He is our eternal father. And he came that God might adopt us back into his family as his children. And then the fourth name was Prince of Peace. In spite of the world's hatred for Christ and his righteousness, he came to bring and give them peace. He said that, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate his church. But in spite of that, he knew that. He knew how much they hated. Look what happened now. In the name of Allah, they kill the Christians, right? They hated him. And even people who call themselves Christians, most of the persecution that we got in Lebanon from so-called Christians wasn't from the Muslims in reality as we were growing up. So it's basically they hated Christ and they hated his salvation. They hated the truth. John 14:27 said, "Peace I live with you," and listen what kind of a peace. And when the world listens about, hey, God brings peace, you know what they're looking for? The world peace, no war. That's not what he's talking about here. He said, "Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." On the cross, Christ made peace between man and God. That's the peace he brings. We pray for the peace of the world, of course, right? But the peace he promised is between us and God. And he offered that peace. He removed the barrier between us and God. Again, the greatest miracle that was ever made for God to come down gives up his glory. And again, something I cannot understand and you will not understand. How did he put himself? He created time. You know, the time that we have, he created that. There is no time. He's from eternity to eternity. He created time and he placed himself within that time limit. He lived 33 years. He stayed, like I said, 9 months in the womb. Right? He grew up. He was 12 years old when he went to the temple. And he grew up little by little in wisdom. Isn't that what the Bible said? He grew up in wisdom and in favor of man and God. He put himself within that time limit. He gave up some of his glory, but he still was God. He was God and man, fully God, fully man. That is the one that we have to make the decision about. What is the resolution? Second, have you known Christ as your personal Savior? You have to make a decision. I mean, I believe most of you have made that decision, if I know you. But I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart, right? But have you made a decision? Have you decided who is he was born in a stall, like we sang? Who is he that went to the cross? Who is that man? I mean, have you made that decision? You'd say, yes, I did. Well, do you live it? You know, this thing, making, you know, of what you believe, that who he is the greatest decision that you made. How did that happen? Look at what happened to the Pharisees. If you remember the Lazarus story, what Christ raised him up, what happened to Lazarus? Lazarus died. Christ came and raised him up from the dead. The Pharisees saw that, right? They knew he was dead because they conducted the funerals. They were there. They knew Christ raised him. They were there standing. He said, "Lazarus, come out." What came to their mind? They made a decision immediately at that moment when they saw how the crowd saying, "Oh, wow, look at that." What did they decide? Let's kill him and Lazarus. They made a decision. Let's kill him and Lazarus because look how they're following him. They're not following us. In another incident, Al Spires were teaching about the parables. Remember when, this was a couple weeks ago, when Christ removed the evil spirit from a man. And the people start saying, could that be the Son of God or something? You know, they were asking those questions. Maybe? You know, how can he remove the devil from? Did you know what the Pharisees did at that time? Did you know what they decided? They saw what happened. They saw that guy was dumb and he cannot speak and cannot hear. And they saw him now. He speaks and hears. And calm as a, you know, as oil. But what did they decide? He removed the devil by the power of the devil. They made a decision, even though they saw it. It's extremely important that you make a decision who he is. If he who he is, he said he is, if he is, then you have to make a choice. Do you believe that he is God and the very God? Do you believe that you are a sinner? You, me, everybody? You're a sinner, that you need help? You have to decide who he is. My wish is that you do not, if you do not know him today, and before the new year, if you're not a believer, you might say, oh, I believe in God. If you have not accepted him as a substitute for your sins on the cross, you're not a believer. He said, I came to give you life. I came to die for you. If you still believe that you're going to do the right things and hopefully you'll end up in heaven, you're not a believer. That's not based on what I believe. It's based on the Word of God. So you have to make a resolution. And by the way, this resolution is unlike any other resolution. In which way? This resolution you don't have to keep. Why? Because God himself keeps that resolution for you. You don't have to do, once, if you accept Christ as a personal Savior, you don't have to do anything after that, working on it, that, hey, I got to keep it, God already guarantees it. And he keeps it, he keeps you in his hand. No one can take you from his hand. It's guaranteed, it's, you're secure for life. That one resolution, you don't have to keep. Once you do it, once you accept Christ, once you know who he is, once you admit that you're a sinner and you need Christ, he keeps it. He keeps you in your hand. And I would like you to say, I mean, again, say it in your heart. If you're not a believer, if you admit to that, if you're a sinner and you have not accepted him before, I want you to think about this. I know that I'm a sinner and without hope. I resolve to accept Christ's invitation, which is his sacrifice on the cross because of your sin. I believe he died on the cross for me. I give him my life and trust him with my eternal destiny. Please don't let this year pass before you make that decision. You have no guarantee. We've seen three dear ladies die this past week. And praise the Lord, they're all believers. And they are in eternity with Christ today. It's the same thing. He looked at the thief near him. Christ said, today you will be with me in paradise. Can you say that? If you die today, can you be there with him today? Or maybe I'm going to be someplace and try to get better. Somebody's going to pray for me and pay something so I get there. No. You need to be an assurance. And said in Corinthians 6:2, 2 Corinthians, said, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. You might not have any other chance to do that. Now, if you are saved and you say, and you're sure of that, you still have to make a resolution. You're going to make it with me today. Okay? In 2 Corinthians, if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, it said, therefore, 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. This is not just a verse written in the Bible just for our entertainment. Okay? If you are a believer, live like it, like one. You don't have an option to say, oh, I'm a believer. Well, I have my faults. I have my weaknesses. Yes, we do. And yes, we will sin. But God is telling us the old things are passed away. Start working on it. In Ephesians 2:10, we read that earlier. He said, we were created in Christ, which means we were saved. That's what created in Christ. For what? For good works. That's why we're saved. Otherwise, if we don't do that, we don't need it, then Christ will save us, take us home. That's it. Our job is done. He keeps us here so we can represent him. He keeps us here so we live the good life that he wants us to. He keeps us here to be the light for him. No one else is going to do that. The world's not going to be the light for God. The world's not going to see God just coming down and up and down. He sees us. Okay? Live like it. Live like one. Live the life that God had created you for. It's a commandment. It's our responsibility. It's not an option. And let me say this. I don't know the hearts again. If your life is always not, you're living in a life that does not reflect Christ, and it doesn't bother you, believe me, I would like you to check if you're really saved. Amen. Okay? If it doesn't bother you, and if it bothers you, if you fall and bothers you, that's a sign of a believer. And you ask for forgiveness. Okay? So let us resolve. I picked this from an article that I recently read from New Testament Ethics by Ken Daughters. And I took only a few of it, and I added my own, some of my own. So I'm going to give you 10 resolutions. If you have a pen and pencil, you want to write the verses, go ahead and do it. We'll help you as we go through the new year and next year. Keep it in mind. He said, by the way, I resolved by God's power and his help, okay? That's what we want you to, not our own power. It's God's power. Okay. And by the way, you don't have to look up the verses. I'm going to go through quickly with them. I will devote myself to God, not to things of the world. I will devote myself to God, not to the things of the world. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. Okay? I will devote myself to God, not to the things of the world. I will do what is best for other persons. Can you say that? Or your focus is going to be yourself. I will do what is best for the other person. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbors. What's the greatest commandments that Christ has said? Loving God and loving your neighbor. So these are tough things to do. It's some they'll say, no, it's easy. I love my neighbor. Really, do you love them? You will seek their own good? Do you seek that? Would you put them ahead of yourself? 1 Corinthians, again, 10:24, let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor. Do not be self-consumed, right? Self-focused. But focused on the good of others. Number three. And these, by the way, are, think about, again, of others first, and how God will use you to benefit others. These are 3, 4, and 5. I will limit my freedom so as not to offend a weaker brother. Now, you're a believer. You have some freedoms. Okay? Say, oh, no, this is my Christian freedom. He said, I will limit my freedom so as not to offend a weaker brother. 1 Corinthians 8:13. And he's talking about food at the time, the meat. That's not, we're not talking about not eating meat here, but that's the verse. If food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Even something is okay. Okay? I will limit my freedom so as not to offend a weaker brother. If you feel that things you could do and they're not sin, but if you know other believers are going to fall as a result, a weaker brother, you don't do it. Number four, I will prevent my mind from thinking ungodly thoughts. I'm not talking about just, I'm talking about purity of mind, but also about hatred, about anger. I will prevent my mind from thinking ungodly thoughts. We do live in a society that is ungodly, and it affects us. We see things on the news. We see things around us, and it affects us. Let's be honest with that. So let's put our let's control our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Can you do that? Can you say to your mind, nope, I'm not going to think this way. I'm not going to, you know, do that way. He offended me, my brother offended me, and I'm very upset. Can I control my tongue? Can I control my thoughts? Can I love him? That's what this verse is all about. Number five, I will avoid activities that hurt my testimony to the unsaved. There's a lot of things we do, and sometimes we're not thinking. And the people who are unsaved looking at us, by the way, you say you're a believer, they believe you until you start living like them. And they say, if they are like us, and they, you know, what's the difference between me, and I heard it from unbelievers, what's the difference between me and the people who say they're believers? Well, sometimes they're not, and that's the problem. And unless they see a change in your life and they can sense the love of Christ in you, you know, it's not going to be affected. The word, sometimes, you know, the Lord does his work in their life, but sometimes, most of the time, he uses you. You know what the Muslim affects him the most? When they see the love of Christ in you, when you're talking to them, if you witness to them, and I see it a lot, if they know, if they see the love of Christ to you, that's what affects them the most. How can that be? Because they don't have that. That's the difference. Okay? Number six, focus on life. This is what it is. It's focus on life. Live a life that is pure and godly. As believers, number six, I will avoid activities that will form enslaving habits. There's a lot of activities. You start doing them, and you become a slave to them. 1 Corinthians 6:12, I will not be mastered by anything, good or bad. Our master is Christ, not our habits. If you cannot stop doing something, it doesn't matter what it is, because it's a habit now, you're controlled by it, you're a slave. We have one master, is Christ. I will avoid activities that will form enslaving habits. If it bothers my conscience, number seven, if it bothers my conscience, I know it's wrong for me. Okay? Romans 14:23. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Don't do it. If it bothers you, don't do it because other believers who call themselves believers doing it. If it bothers you, don't do it. To you, it's sin. And don't get upset. Say, how come, you know, I do that? Don't compare yourself. You have that intimate relationship with God, between you and God. Not between you, how this person does this and how that person has relation. It's you and God. If it bothers your conscience, don't do it. Number eight, I will choose activities that will help me grow spiritually. 1 Corinthians 6:12, not all things are profitable. By the way, you want to grow spiritually? You'd say, yes, I do. Everyone. If I ask each one of you, you will say, yeah, absolutely. Then be with other believers. Be in the assembly of believers. That's how you grow spiritually. Be close to people who care about you and about your spiritual beings. Okay? If you're out in the world, and this is your best friends are out the world, you're not going to grow spiritually. Okay? Number nine. And this one is one of the toughest ones. And it's a commandment from Christ. I will love the believers in spite of their perceived faults. I will love the believers. I'm repeating it intentionally. I will love the believers in spite of their perceived faults. John said in 1334, and that's actually Christ said it in John 1334, love one another even as I have loved you. How do he love us? When we hated him. When we were not believers. We didn't believe in him. We did not want him. He loved us. Can you love other believers that way? When you have perceived that they don't like you. Sometimes this perception is wrong, by the way, as we work it in our own mind. But let's assume it is. If you have that perception of other believers, can you love them? Or say, oh, I don't have anything to do with them. Christ said to you, love that brother. Love that sister. It's a commandment from Christ. It's not an option. Brethren, that's how the world will see if we're believers, see Christ in us, if we love one another. Okay? There is no space for the believers to hate other believers. It's not an option. Or even talk about them badly. Or doubt them. Keep bringing them up in every bad conversation. That is not about believers' action when they do that. Don't do that. Christ commanded us, love one another. It doesn't matter what we think of the other people. It doesn't matter what they have done to us. If you think what you've done to Christ, he still loved you. Well, you say, well, he's Christ, he's God, he can do that. He's telling you, you do what I did. And how can we do it? We have the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? God is indwelled in us. That's why we can do it. Number 10, I will read the Word of God daily. Bob and Riva have the Word of God in the back that is free for you to take. So you can read it on a... Bob, did you come up? You didn't come up. Oh, we missed that. By the way, let me advertise. Bob and Riva are giving the Bibles in the back there. Please feel free to take them if you want to read them. And it will go through day by day reading. It will help you to read that. Read it. Read the Word of God daily. Don't skip. You will sometimes. You're sick, something like that. But my advice, read it. He said in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Make a resolution, you're going to read the Word of God. I haven't been doing it, it's tough. Make a resolution to read the Word of God. That one you have to keep. Those resolutions you have to keep with God's help. Okay? Psalms 119:11, your word I have treasured or hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. That's the only way you can get closer to God. That's how you can get intimate with God, is through the Word of God. That's how you know him. It doesn't matter what the preacher preaches to you, as Pastor Dan comes up here and gives you the message every day, you'll learn something. But you want to come close to God, you want to be intimate with God, you got to read the Word of God. Okay? Those are the 10 resolutions. And that's why I left the 10th one, the most important. Read the Word of God. I want to emphasize it. What is the resolution made and what is the outcome? Quickly, and I'll finish soon. The focus, again, remember, our resolution is Christ, not me, not you. The focus is Christ. The resolution for the unbeliever is what? What's the resolution for the unbeliever? Accept Christ as a personal Savior. That's the resolution today. Okay, and you do it, and you will be happy. Okay? This is your eternal life we're talking about. I urge you to do it today. The believer is to live a life that is godly. That's what the resolution. The result of this, why we do all of this as believers, why do we make those resolutions? Why do we want to live for Christ? Because that will bring glory to God and honor to his name. That's the only reason. Not because, look at how I feel better. No. That's what will bring honor and glory to God. And that's why we're here. We're here to bring glory to God. And then, if we do that, then we can sing and say with the angels of Bethlehem, as stated in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. People around us will glorify God because of our behavior. May we look for a year that we honor God in our walk and bring him glory in everything that we do. Happy New Year to you all. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, for your promises, and for the Lord Jesus Christ that you sent here, and came as a baby, took upon himself flesh, lived a godly life, a pure life, without sin, still went to the cross to carry our own sin on his body. Lord, we thank you for that love that is unmatched by anybody. Lord, when we pray that, my prayer is that anyone here that heard the message and they haven't accepted you as your personal Savior, they will humble themselves and recognize their sin and accept you as a personal Savior. And for the rest of the believers, Lord, and we go day by day and we live our lives, and may it be different next year, that we'll bring honor and glory to your name by the way we live. Help us to love each other. Help us to be in your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.